My name is Simeon. And I know what it's like to wait. Waiting and waiting and waiting. I know what it's like to wait. My name is Simeon. I live in the city of Jerusalem, the Lord's city. And ever since I was young, I have been waiting for the Messiah. I have been waiting for God to fulfill His promise to me and to my people to bring the Messiah who would restore us in our relationship to God. I've been waiting ever since I was a little boy. I've been waiting because all of my people have been waiting for generations and generations, for centuries, for millennia. We have been waiting for God to answer His promise, to fulfill His promise, to send a Messiah. But not only have I been waiting as one of my fellow Jews, I have been waiting in a special way too. For you see, the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, told me, Simeon, that I would not die before I met the Messiah. Throughout generations, my brothers and sisters have been born, lived, and died waiting. And now God, in His mercy and grace, has given it to me that I would not wait in vain, that I would not pass on the waiting to the next generation, but that before I died, I would see the Lord's Anointed One, the Messiah. And it was glorious. I'll give you a little background on myself. As I said, I live in Jerusalem. I am a worshiper of God. I am a righteous man, devout to God. I follow Him and obey Him and love Him. And on a given day, the Holy Spirit told me to go into the temple courts and to wait. I obeyed the Lord. And on that day, I happened upon a young family. A man named Joseph, mother named Mary, a little baby in their arms, just 40 days old, named Jesus. Mary and Joseph, they lived in the regions of Galilee, far away from Jerusalem. But they also were righteous and devout, following all of the Lord's commands. And after they had given birth to their firstborn son, they brought him to Jerusalem after 40 days, because they were going to follow the law and obey God's word, and they were going to purify themselves now. You see, the law says that after 7 days, on the eighth day, a son is to be circumcised. And they had done this on the eighth day. And then for 33 more days, after the 7 days of waiting, 33 more days, if you give birth to a son, the woman was considered unclean by the law and not able to participate in temple worship. After 40 days, she was to present herself to the priests, and a ceremony of cleansing. And this is why Mary and Joseph had traveled all the distance from their home to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple of God. And it was on this day when God told me to go to the temple that He brought this young family into my path. They were obeying the Word of God as He lays forth in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. That they were come to be purified after 40 days. And they were to come and bring an offering. And the offering, according to Leviticus, is that you offer a lamb, unless you are too poor. Then you offer what Mary and Joseph brought, either two doves or two young pigeons. Even though they were poor, they still obeyed the Lord. Even though it was inconvenient to travel all that distance, they still obeyed the Lord. For Mary and Joseph were righteous and devout people, followers of God. They also came to consecrate their son, Jesus. As the Lord says in Exodus chapter 13, that the firstborn son of man or of animal is to be consecrated to God as an act of remembering what the Lord did when He brought Israel out of captivity of slavery from Egypt, when He killed the firstborn of all those who were not of His people. You remember Samuel. His mother prayed to God for a child, and when God answered her prayer and gave her a child, her firstborn son, she gave him to the Lord. She consecrated him to the Lord. And in a similar way, Joseph and Mary consecrated Jesus to the Lord. And it was there that I met them. I had been waiting. I personally was waiting because the Holy Spirit told me I would not die before I would see the Messiah. Our nation had been waiting since the very beginning of the Garden of Eden. Since the first sin, we had been waiting. And in fact, all of creation was waiting for the Messiah to come. As the Lord's Apostle Paul wrote in his book to the church at Rome, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Waiting. As I went to the temple that day, my waiting ended. It was that day that I met the Messiah, God's anointed one, the one who would save His people, the one that my people had been waiting for thousands of years, that I had been waiting for since a child, that I had been waiting for in a special way since the Lord told me through the Holy Spirit that I would not die before I saw Him. And now my waiting was over. It was then and there in the temple courts on that day that I met Jesus. Oh, the name is still so sweet to my tongue and to my ears. Jesus, the Messiah. I picked Him up in my arms, much to the surprise of His parents. I held Him in my arms. And I gave praise to God. What other response would I have? Here is the Messiah. Have you waited for anything? Have you ever waited and waited? Not just for an afternoon, or for a season, or for a year, or for a decade, but for generations. And here He was. The answer to God's promise. He keeps His promises. It's fulfilled, and it was in my arms. This baby. The Messiah. And I worship. My waiting turned to worship. And under the influence and leading of the Holy Spirit, I declared as my worship, Sovereign God, as You have promised, You may now dismiss Your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen Your salvation, which You have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of Your people, Israel. I could now die in peace. You see, there is no peace apart from the Messiah, apart from Jesus. I have been oppressed by the Romans. I have been oppressed by the religious leaders of my people. I have known governments rise and fall. I have seen the Pax Romana. And I'm here to tell you that there is no peace in this world except for in Jesus. Now, having seen this baby, I may die in peace, knowing the Messiah. He wasn't just to be another religious leader. He wasn't just to be a warrior and a king and a soldier riding forth at the head of an army. No, the Messiah was to save His people, to bring salvation, to bring those from death into life, to reconcile sinners to God, His Father. And I understood some at the time that this salvation was not just for the Jews, that it was for the Gentiles also. When I declared in my praise that this baby, this Messiah, this Jesus, was to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles, it was because the Gentiles didn't know that they needed a Messiah. They needed to have revelation. They needed to have illumination, have their eyes opened and their ears opened, that they would see and hear that they needed a Messiah. But also, He would be glory for people, for the people of Israel. He would be glory for them. Because here was the fulfillment of the promise of God to save His people, both Jew and Gentile. My waiting turned into worship at seeing the Messiah. Well, these words that I spoke from the Holy Spirit, they caused quite a stir in Joseph and Mary. I've said Joseph and Mary are righteous, devout people. And they believed the angel when he told them that they would give birth to the Son of God. They believed. They experienced the miracle of the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. And she conceived. And yet all of this was still so overwhelming, so large, that they could not yet understand it all. And so when I spoke my words of worship, Joseph and Mary responded in wonder. My waiting turned into worship. My worship caused within Mary and Joseph wonder. What words are these that I was saying? What is this? What can I possibly mean that their son, their child, would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for the people of Israel? But my words for them were not done. The Lord gave me more to say to Joseph and to Mary. And I turned to them and said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." You see, the Messiah was the salvation for people. He was the means by which God would bring peace between people, between His children and Himself. But it would not all be peace. With the coming of Jesus, there would be judgment. There would be strife. There would be suffering. You see, with the coming of the Messiah, everything changed. And there were only two places we could stand. Two places anyone and everyone could stand, including all of us gathered here today. We could either choose to stand against Jesus, against God's Messiah, against His anointed Son, and in doing so, experience the judgment that would be our right inheritance because of our sin. Or we could choose to stand with Jesus, to follow Him, to surrender to Him, to submit to Him, to worship Him, and in doing so, receive salvation from God and scorn from men. The option was not between the way of judgment from God and the way of pure lack, absence of suffering. In choosing to stand with Jesus, the world will choose to stand against you. Jesus is a dividing figure. He's the Lord's anointed. The world hates Him. And all those who stand with Jesus will be hated. I had to warn and declare under the inspiration of the Spirit of God to His parents that this Messiah would cause a splitting in families, a splitting in nations, even a splitting within Mary's own heart. As a sword rends in two, so Mary's heart would be rent in two. As she had to watch her son go to the cross and die. There is no third place to stand. There is no standing with one foot on each side. There is no third choice. There is standing against this child, this Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, or there is standing with Him. That choice was before me on that morning. That choice was before His parents. That choice was before His disciples, before the crowds who followed after Him, before the religious leaders, before the Roman soldiers and rulers. And it is before us today, here, this morning. Where will you stand? Against the Messiah or with Him? Where are you this morning? As you contemplate and you prepare and you look forward to the celebration of the birth of the Messiah, are you in a position of waiting? Of waiting to see what God will do, where He will lead you, what is going to happen? Are you in a position of waiting to see if He is real? Are you in a position of waiting with apathy? Of waiting with no expectation? I know you have celebrated this birth for your whole lives. This is nothing new for you. You aren't experiencing likely what I experienced on that morning, on that day when I first held Him in my arms. Are you waiting? Or has your waiting turned some and led you into worship? Has the Lord so opened your eyes and your ears and your heart to Jesus that you see Him not just as one time in your life, wow, that was great, but do you see Him anew, now, here, today, And does that call forth from you worship the thought that your Heavenly Father kept His promise, sent His Messiah, even though every one of us rejected Him? The fact that your Heavenly Father came after you in Jesus, does that fill you with worship? Or this morning, are you still in a state of wonder? Caught in between, caught in a place of sensing that there is something spectacular going on in Jesus today, here, this morning. And yet not fully grasping, not being brought fully into a place yet of worship, or returning to a place of worship. Is there a sense of wonder in your heart? Lord, God, what are you doing? Are you real? Are you here? Are you coming again? I know for you it has been a long time. Almost 2,000 years. Matthew was one in a line of faithful and righteous Jews. Even though he has not returned after 2,000 years, that does not mean his promise is void. We waited and waited and waited. And God was faithful to answer His promise and sent the Messiah. I tell you, as one who has waited and seen, had his waiting transformed into worship, the Lord Jesus is coming again. My name is Simeon. I have waited. By the Lord's grace, I've had that turned into worship. And I invite you too to worship Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we have waited. We have waited for your return. And Father, in many ways, our waiting has stopped. We don't even look for you to return anymore. We just go about our own busy lives, and the sense of expectation has flown out of us, Lord. Father God, I pray that you would fill us with renewed expectation. With excitement, that childlike excitement with the approach of Christmas morning, not because of the presents, but because of the presence of Jesus. And I do pray, O Lord God, that you would fill us with worship in this season, not apathy, O God, but worship. I pray for those, O Lord God, whose hearts you're pulling now, who do sense now a glimpse of wonder at Jesus, that you, O God, sent the Messiah to save your people. And I pray, Father God, you would bring forth from every one of us here this morning, God, decision that we would choose to follow you, O Lord God, surrender our lives to you, O Jesus. That by your grace we would be saved. Thank you for Jesus, God. We pray to you through Jesus and in His name. Amen.